My pleasure to call to order the Monday, April 11th meeting of the Dania County Planning Commission. And this is our public hearing part, and so we welcome you to this evening's deliberations. Mr. Coxey, before we go through the regular procedures, let me introduce Mr. Robert Ashley. Even though it's misspelled. Okay. And Robert Ashley is the new administrator for the Planning and Zoning Commission and comes to us from Christian County. And this is his very first day, and I understand it's been a fairly lengthy day. So we'll defer the activities and the procedures for the evening back to Eddie Coxey, who I understand is working with Planning and Zoning and acclimating you for the next month or so. Okay. So, Mr. Coxey, let's establish a quorum.
Dave Stewart?
Here.
Rick Caudill?
Here.
Randall Cummings?
Here.
Ray Edwards? He is back in town, by the way. He's just not here tonight. So, Sarah Kleinfelter?
Here.
Sean Pingleton?
Here.
Susan Martin?
Here.
And Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Again, Mr. Coxey, explanation of the procedures for tonight's meeting.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division III application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. And the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment if they choose. And at the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be 1 week after the public hearing. Projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case is heard tonight.
Okay. Mr. Ashley, would you mind handing me those four sign-up sheets so I can have those? Thank you. Okay. And we'll move directly into the projects under consideration. The first one is a lot split, the Hayman subdivision. What happens is that we have a staff report that is read. Then we have video so that we can see what the land and the property actually looks like. And then we'll call forth people who wish to speak on the project. So, Mr. Coxey, again, staff report, please.
This is the Division 3 staff report for the replat of Lot 3A for the Hayman subdivision, dated April 11, 2011, case number 11-4. This is the public hearing for the replat of Lot 3A in the Hayman subdivision in the Oliver Township, Section 12, Township 21, Range 21. The applicants, Tom and Anita Linkhouse, request to split a lot in a previously platted subdivision. History is that it was approved for concept March 21, 2011. General description, the subject property consists of 11.03 acres and is located off of JJ Highway. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and agricultural. The proposed project consists of woods and small fields. The property will be serviced by an individual sewer and individual well. The project received a score of 18 on the policy checklist out of a possible 41. Policies receiving a negative score consisted of 9. This is a lot split. Be aware, there's no request. There's no request on here to build anything or anything like that. But there was no nothing that you know, just jumped out and said don't. The summary is, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. A, sediment and erosion. B, stormwater management. C, land grading permits. D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain. E, utility easements and building line setbacks. F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. G, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts, health department if applicable. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number three, the decision is subject to all existing easements. Number five, Division one or two permits will be required for all, or this would be Division one, for all applicable structures in the development, as this is residential. And number six, the decision of record shall be filed with the Cheney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. As you remember, about a year and a half or so ago, this came before us to have to become a no, we did this as a minor sub, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember offhand, but you'd seen this before as a subdivision. This is the whole area out here. This is a blow up of that area. This was actually the one lot at the time, and this is how when if the approval is done, this is how this thing will end up. Currently, this is the lot owned by Mr. Linkhouse, and he'll be adding this to it. But basically, because this was platted as a subdivision, and we're increasing density in that subdivision, it requires that come back before this board. So that's why you're seeing this. I'm going to show you a video. Am I in the right place on this, guys?
Not quite.
We're doing Lookout Acres.
No, we're doing the Linkhouse's lot split. And you said
what I've showed you so far is correct as far as what I've read. Let me get this down to where I need to be. Here's where the rub's going to come in now. I'm trying to find this. I had this all set up just right.
Okay,
here we are. So let me get you back to this sign.
Nice trees.
There's not a whole lot to see out here, so we're going to take you around one time around the loop here, and then we're going to be done. And but this is basically out on JJ Highway, pretty far out, right before you get to that was Bonita. I didn't want y'all to think that was a little squirrel or anything like that.
So,
she's a little bit camera shy.
Okay.
But this is kind of what's out here. It's just it's fairly rural. There are a few homes and everything like that, but this is just the area. And again, there's not anything other than just a lot split going on here. No request to build anything or anything. It is of course agricultural residential in this area here. But that is all that I'm going to show you.
Okay. Only one person has signed up to speak on this issue, and Tom Linkus, where are you? Do you want to come forward and tell us again what this was really all about?
This was just a part of the old family farm, and we had the opportunity to buy the 11 acres. In other words, we're going to split the 20-some-odd acres into two separate areas now. So this will allow us to add some more property to the 5 acres that we do own there.
And when we talk about it being partially some residential out there, can we go back to the overview of the map to identify where there might be residential properties? Are there any residences on that 5
yes.
acre or
CDF.
That 5?
Yeah.
Mr. Linkus, let me give you this.
But we have high-tech stuff here.
Oh. Just push that red button and... Your eyes.
Okay.
This is the existing original house and a small outbuilding there. And the split of the property will be, of course, there. There's some housing there. There's dwellings there, and I think right in this area here also. And then this is the old community building, church house, schoolhouse that was originally defined up there. And that's about it.
Okay. And again, when we talk about the lot split, the lots that you are splitting.
It's this lot here.
Okay.
It's the original 21, I think 21 acres, something like that, and we're actually going to split it. This will be 11, right. Something else will be 10.
And the others are already platted as lots.
Yes.
Okay. Simple as that. Any other questions from the commissioners? Okay.
Questions? Okay.
That was pretty simple. We will see you next Monday night.
Okay. Thank
you.
Okay.
Close the hearing on that project. Let's move on then to the Happy Hollow Resort.
This is the Division 3 staff report for the Happy Hollow Resorts, dated April 11th, 2011, case number 11-5. It's the public hearing for the Happy Hollow Resort in the Oliver Township, Section 3, Township 21, Range 22. The applicants, Gregory and Brenda Cosman, are asking to move an existing cabin into one place and then to move another mobile home onto the property, a new double wide, where the current structure is. The other structure will be it will continue to be used just in a different location, so you'll know that. This will be an increase of one living unit for the new owners to live in who they hope to sell this to. History is that it was approved for concept on March 21st, 2011. General description, the subject property consists of 3 acres and is located at 248 Hammock Way in Hidden Valley Subdivision, Lot 2. The adjoining properties of the request consist of residential and multifamily. Review the project. Proposed project consists of an existing resort. The property will be serviced by an individual sewer and private well. The project received a score on the policy checklist. We didn't get that on there, but it was a 6, if I'm not mistaken, on that, out of a possible 53. The items receiving a negative score consisted of right-of-way of roads, emergency water supply, and I believe that's the only two that had negative scores on them. And if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, we have a summary that was basically as mentioned before, mm-hmm. unless you want that read again.
Not particularly.
And we'll go on from there. As you remember, last time we met, this is one of the overviews of the Happy Hollow Resort. This is the area where we go down 86, cross the bridge, and actually into Stone County, up to UU Highway. You turn and follow that all the way back around, and you come down to Happy Hollow. It's got another name, too, but you turn on there, and then you go down to Hammock Way and turn. If you remember, a couple years ago, we approved this area in here for a multifamily use with its own treatment plant and everything like that. But the Happy Hollow Resort has existed pre-planning and zoning, and it exists on a septic system. About a year, maybe a year and a half ago, we approved a lot split to move the Happy Hollow Resort down onto 3 acres and the upper part to be split off. And since that time, the owners have decided to sell this. While we didn't have any definite how many buildings could exist on this property or anything like that, the last time you saw it, what you had approved was the Happy Hollow Resort on 3 acres. And so since we're going to increase density on this property with one unit there, we wanted to bring that before you. A couple of the options that we had, the owner was looking to install another septic system, which the soil would allow for it to exist there. There was room for that and everything. However, we talked with the owner and suggested to him the better course of action would be to try and tie this all into one septic system, get a review of the system to make sure that it had capacity, what needed to be done to that and everything. Otherwise, he would have to go to the Board of Adjustment to have two septic systems on less than 4 acres and everything. He did do his survey, do his work there. I believe you had that in your packet, the analysis that was done and what needs to be done. And there is a little bit of an upgrade, but basically what this consists of, they'll take one cabin, and we'll show you that in just a minute on the film. They'll move that cabin out of the way, place the double wide for the new owners to live in, and then replace that cabin just a little further over on the lot. Those two units then will tie into kind of the same system and go into a tank, and then that tank will eventually go out, if I understand this correctly, it will go out to the existing septic system, which will have some extended laterals and things like on that so that it can handle the capacity on that. So that's basically all it is, but then we'll have a good clean record of what's going on.
Okay, before you leave that, is there any reason why that section to the left is circled with yellow?
No, ma'am. With this exception, I probably, when we did this, brought up the subdivision.
Okay.
Would be my guess, the original subdivision to find this, and that's what it highlighted. There's a lot of different reasons why that could come up like that, but the particular lot that we're interested in is the one that is in turquoise, and I'd have to go back and find that out for you.
Okay.
Usually that's indicative that it is attached to the name or the street or something that we're looking at as far as the address. you know, it's quite very feasible that, I asked for Hammock Way, and that's what it showed me. Why it didn't show this one, I don't know. And this one, it would be on Happy Hollow, whereas all this does face and get its 911 address for, for Hammock
Way. And the number of cabins or units on in the resort are six?
No, ma'am. These are kind of multiple. I believe there's 12, maybe 13, 14 existing. And the double wide that we're looking to put in is not going to be a cabin that's going to be rented or anything. It is, it will be a year-round residence, I'm guessing, for the potential buyer. So that would be the difference in it. And like I say, they have looked at the septic system to see about capacity and what was necessary to do there.
Okay. So.
Eddie?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, sir.
Close enough. Everything... Being that this has come back before us now, even though when it was first put in, it was, you know, before planning and zoning, everything meets our current code, right?
Yes, sir.
There's nothing that's out, so we wouldn't, I just want to make sure that we're...
This property...
with what they're doing now, they'll have to come up to code with right-of-ways, size of lots,
yes,
and everything.
Sir. Yes, sir. Everything as far as the lot split and everything that we did last time made them...
So we're good there.
Do that.
Okay.
And this is not a lot split. This is just basically adding another unit to this. So, yes, sir. When we did the lot split, we brought the roads, right-of-ways up to standard and everything like that. And they did the capacity analysis on the sewer system at our request just to make sure.
Okay.
They do also have, you know, the part of this sewer system, I really don't want to get into this, but I'm going to tell you. As you know, the Corps has a take line down here, and there's an elevation line. So there's a line here that they cannot build below, but that came into effect after this was built many, many years ago. They have the right, and they have their paperwork in place and everything, that down in this area they can, in perpetuity, where they or their successive owners can make whatever repairs necessary to this sewer system and everything like that. So
how far back is the take line?
You see that little blue, that little blue line there?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably pretty close, and everything. It's an elevation, and everything. But it's probably, you know, they can tell you when they get up here exactly how close that runs to this.
Okay.
Matter of fact, let me see. I'm on my big picture now. Let me see here. So that's probably pretty close in there. But down in this area here, wherever they're. There's lateral lines are, and he can share that with you. I believe some of that runs down to now, where if they were going to build it today, it might be an issue. But because it was pre-planning and zoning, and even pre what the Corps was doing there, it is okay for them to do what they're doing. So.
And while you have that picture up, where is the building that is going to be moved?
This little building here.
Okay, and it's going to be moved to.
It's going to be moved over to here.
Okay.
If I'm correct now. You know, I get turned around sometimes, so, but I believe that's where it's going.
Okay.
And then the new double wide would go into this area here. You ready for to try a video?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Oh no! Come on now. Of course, in the middle of this resort, and we'll go back to that picture in just a minute. Was there's our tree squirrel and everything. So, just panning around to let you see kind of what's here, as we come back around. This is going to be looking back up. While this is doing this, ladies and gentlemen, I can't help you there. But as we come around, this is the cabins and the resorts, and we're going to drive you down on into this driveway. And so this is Hammock Way that we're going down right here, and. This is where I think this is the office, and here's where the cabins will start. And hopefully when we get over here, I'm going to stop this if it doesn't jump.
So is the office in a building by itself, or is it one of the rental units?
I believe it's in a building by itself.
Okay. No. There's a unit attached.
Okay.
But the office is not out of one of the rental units?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, we're going to come around, and we're going to, come on, just a little bit more. I'm going get a shot of this. I think we're getting close, Come on. I'm going to stop right here because this is, right here, is the unit that's going to be moved. Am I correct with that? Okay, and hopefully I'm going to come on around a little bit, but this is where the double wide would be setting when we get there. Oh, good.
Okay, and that building is currently used as?
It is one of the cabin rentals.
A cabin.
Right now, and it will continue to be that.
Okay.
And then you'd ask about some of the other buildings you saw in there, and that's what you're seeing here and here and everything. So, okay. And that's the dash of the vehicle.
Looks like a nice place.
Okay.
So the only person that signed up is the famous Booker Cox.
Infamous.
Yeah, I'm just here to answer any questions you have and to speak to any issues that you might have.
Okay, and this is pretty much a done deal, you think?
Yes, yeah, financing is in place, the appraisal's been done, everything is on track, and we can close as soon as you guys make a decision.
Okay, and you're really asking us simply to approve the building placement. That's what you're really asking for.
So the increase in density.
Yeah, and the increase in density.
Yeah.
And again, explain, because you were going to add alternative sewage treatment, I thought.
We're going to add one more tank and then an additional 300 feet of lateral lines. And I believe Mike Stalzer with Treat Architects is the guy that we hired to do that. And he examined the system, and based upon the flow rates, that's what we need to add the three-bedroom home.
I think we got a letter on that.
I think you did, yeah.
Right, you had that report in your packet, yes, sir.
Questions for Mr. Cox from the commissioners? And this will happen ASAP.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Any further questions at all? Okay, or discussion? Mr. Cox, we'll look forward to seeing you next Monday night.
Okay. The Cosmans may not be able to be here next Monday. They're not sure yet.
If will that be
okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
How was the fishing down on that little cove? Pretty okay?
Extremely good.
Rent a cabin and find out.
For the record, it's not good at all.
Okay. Let's move on then to Lookout Acres.
This is the Division 3 staff report for Lookout Acres, first edition lot split, dated April 11, 2011, case number 11-6. This is the public hearing for Lookout Acres, first edition lot split in the Swan Township, Section 29, Township 24, Range 20. The applicants, Charles and Shirley Barnes, are requesting approval to divide a lot in Lookout Acres. History is that it was approved for concept on March 21, 2011. General description, the subject property is approximately 33,700 square feet and is located at the South Hickory Street. Proposal is to divide the property, making two lots, the smaller lot being around 13,000 square feet, and the adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. Review: the proposed project consists of two existing structures, a single-family dwelling on the front and a garage building in the back. The property is serviced by an individual sewer and community well. The project received a score, for some reason it didn't get on here, of 7 out of a possible 41, with the negative scores being right-of-way of roads, emergency water supply, and utilities. So the summary is as mentioned before, and I won't go into that summary unless you request. But what you'll remember here is that this is down 160 here in Forsyth. These are the long lots that look over the lake right there down near the dentist office where the lookout place is where you can turn in down there. And as you remember, a year or so ago, they finished up the Casey Road project with sewer, and now sewer is coming through down Hickory Street. This particular subdivision has its own public water for the subdivision, which is being turned over to the city of Forsyth, and the city of Forsyth will also be running the sewer system that's going to go through there. So due to the fact that this is going to be on public sewer within 6 months, they are exercising the right to ask for a lot split here, and the lot does... of course, meet the size requirements and everything. Currently, this house is accessed off of Highway 160. that is its 911 address. But as most of these houses in this area do access off of Hickory Street in the back here. So what we're looking to, the request is to split this back into this area right across here. Again, it meets the frontage requirements, it meets the setback requirements, everything like that. They will have to give us probably a little bit of frontage here because Hickory Street is narrow. So, I mean, that'll be part of the plat when he does that. We have mentioned that to them. So they'll dedicate a little bit of extra road easement there when that plat comes through to meet requirements. But it looks like everything's going to be, you know, able to meet requirements without any issues or anything like that. We are increasing density in this platted subdivision. Again, that's why that is here before you at this particular time. I believe the only thing left for me to do is take you to the video. I think we're going to start you out at the back of the house because that's where the lot's actually going to be split off. This is the garage that exists on that house, and we're going to swing around so you can kind of see what's going on here. This is the actual house on the structure there in the front there. As we come around, this is Hickory Street, and I want you to notice that right over here, there is some new construction going on right there. And again, guys, why this is doing this again, I do not know. I didn't do it today when we looked at this. But that's kind of what's on Hickory Street. There are a lot of homes that do face off of Hickory Street in the back there. So we'll bring you around to the side and get you a shot here up toward the house. Then we're going to take you around the front and then show you kind of what's going on. But this is the distance between that house and this garage. And of course, this is going to be the front of the house, and we're going to look back toward the back so that you can see kind of what's going on there. And just a little bit more, and we'll be done coming around. Of course, that's Highway 160. Mm-hmm. And as we come around here, if it doesn't skip again, you'll see the driveway right here to the right. And of course, the front of the house again.
Okay, and the only person that signed up for this is Mr. Chuck Barnes, so if you'll come forward, because I have some questions about this. Again, explain your rationale for doing this.
Well, we bought that house about, rough time, almost 2 years ago. And we took almost a year to totally remodel it in and out. And the market in real estate was somewhat different at that time than it is today, quite a bit different. And so we have listed this house on the market at about $40,000 less than we have in it. And what we would be ending up doing is just giving that back 130 feet away. And we made the decision to, because the sewer was coming through in the water and it was going to come right by the structure that's on Hickory Street then, we would make application to break off 130 feet in depth in order to try to justify taking a $40,000 beating. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. We don't really have any immediate plans for that piece of property. We would hope that at some time in the future, if somebody wants to buy the house, and it is actively on the market, that they would also be a buyer for the back 130 feet.
Is there a garage with the house?
There's
garage
the in the house, yes.
Okay. Right about here.
A single car garage,
right.
And a pad next to it for just parking. I mean, okay. It doesn't have a structure over it. But then the back part is a double car garage with a pretty good shop area. There's nothing in it now. Ladder, but I could also use it for some storage.
Mm-hmm. And the acreage, you said that the entire lot is 33,000 square feet or so.
Well,
so
it's 100, it's 300, it's
337 by 100.
On one side, yeah, 315 by 100 on the other.
Yeah, Rick, here's that thing.
So the lot that we're would be removing or lopping off, to use that term, would be approximately 100 by 130 feet, about 13,000, a little over 13,000 square feet.
our minimum square footage for this, for each lot there would be 8,000 square feet, 70 foot of frontage.
Will it be buildable with the shop existing there?
Yes. I mean, you'd have to watch your setbacks and everything like that, but you could actually incorporate that shop into a house, or you could... I mean, you know, just right. And I did look at that because that was my concern too. Benita asked the same, very same question on site. Just depending on how you planned it and researched it, you could build another house back there. Exactly right. As you see right over here, two lots down, there's a house sitting there, and everything. But you notice there's nothing on the front of this lot, and everything. So. It is possible to incorporate that shop building. You could make a story and a half out of that if you chose. There's a lot of different things that could be done. Or if somebody chose to buy that lot separately, they could knock that shop building down and start all over. But it's we go on lots as small as 70 feet wide, and this is 100.
We actually sit back from Hickory Street just a little bit more than that existing house.
And Hickory Street is a city street, a county road, a private road? What is it?
Well, I don't know. Right now, I mean, it's not part of the city, is it?
It's not. I don't know that the county maintains it. I think it's a private road. It is platted at a 30-foot easement. But I don't. You know who pushes the snow on it? That'll tell us a lot. Yeah. No.
Nobody.
Then it is private road. So that's the best way to find out.
It's level and it just melts. So, as they said, that I think with this advent of the water and sewer, which is to come down Hickory Street, I think down the middle, then they will require from all of us a little more easement and consequently a wider street. But at this time, I think it's just owned by the subdivision.
Yeah, that's what I believe, because the subdivision owned the water system also, which they're going to give to the city of Forsyth.
Well, and regardless, we would require the
half of the easement that's required to bring that up to current standard.
Right.
So,
and they couldn't list it. They can't until that. When can they begin to list as a lot by itself or part of it? Mm-hmm. Can they do that before?
We're not actually going to split the lot until we can make sure that all the arrangements are made. Usually when it's hooked up.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
We understand that we can't do anything with it individually other than being attached to what's a part of now until the water and sewer is in. And our intent right now is not we're going to have it surveyed, but we didn't want to spend the money to have it surveyed until we know that the water and sewer is in truth. I mean, it's all been signed and we've signed off with, I think it's Archer,
our requirement will be that the house be connected. Now, the building in the back, shop building, will not have to be because it doesn't have water or anything into it. So it's not being used for anything. But if somebody was to build back there, then, of course, that would have to be.
And I'm going to ask the engineering firm to put a stub for water and for sewer because they're going right by that structure. So we'll probably have to pay some extra.
And most of the houses have access from the back of the houses now, and you're cutting off that access. Have you thought about an easement through that back lot?
There's a couple of the houses in that subdivision that have a driveway that goes all the way through from Hickory to 160. Some people use it, and it's not very safe.
Mm-hmm. When you pass Casey Street going north, most of those houses, their 911 address is on Hickory. But when you're on the south side of Casey Street, I think the majority of them front off of Highway 160.
There's four that are on Hickory, and the rest of them in that subdivision are all have Highway 160.
And then directly behind these lots on that south side of Hickory there another bunch of houses. Not some of them front off of Hickory. They may all, I can't remember, but that's where most of them get their access.
But all of those houses have access. Well, we own another house that's three doors off of Casey Road, and it doesn't have any access off of 160. It only has access off of Hickory. But the majority of the houses do have, they don't have a road, but they do have access, I guess you'd call it, off of both Hickory and 160.
Which is not a necessity because they have legal access.
They have access to it. They just haven't been utilizing an access. I'm guessing when these were built, the more prestigious address would have been 160. I don't know that because that looks directly at the lake and everything, so it makes it more of a lakefront. So.
Well, it's a lake view in November if you're in the second floor.
We call that a lake
front, I would think. I am so intrigued with the loss of value. Have you had this appraised?
Twice.
And this is a current appraisal that they're giving you.
Well, the current appraisal went, the original one, and then the one after that, since our new administration in Washington.
Yes, sir.
is down about 28%.
Agree, yeah.
And as you know, since 2008, that's about 20% in Taney County.
The other thing that we did, this was our first venture into buying a house and fixing it up.
Did you watch television? Did you watch those makeover shows?
Sure. Channel 42.
Flip this house. Okay.
But what I wanted to say is that we did everything as though we would want it to be, as though we were going to live in it. We didn't cut any corners. I mean, in hindsight, I probably would have. But our timing was terrible. So we're trying to make a bad situation just a little bit better, and that's the purpose of it. We don't, as I say, have really any designs for that back portion at this time. You know, as he asked, it could have a home attached to that two-car garage and another home back there, but that's... probably won't happen.
But again, if we make the decision to go with your proposal, you for real estate purposes, you would have to sell that lot separately and apart from the full package.
Now, unless the people that bought the house would, I mean, if I was
negotiated on the lot.
No. There's another aspect. This lot also goes across Highway 160 and down to the lake.
Okay.
It's a little steep. But what I'm saying is, if I was a buyer of that property, as I was at one time, I wouldn't have probably considered it if I couldn't buy it all.
Yeah.
And I would think that would probably happen in the event of a sale. Okay. But we wanted to have the flexibility of somebody from a dollars and cents standpoint, and I just didn't want to give away.
Uh-huh. Got it. Understand.
Okay. And in the event that somebody bought this even after it was split, one contiguous owner, he could still use it like it is, or he could go back in the back there and build a house on it and rent it out or whatever he would choose to do. But he doesn't have to treat it as
just
separate.
I wanted
lots.
To make sure that everybody understood that once we do the split, we can't unsplit. We can't take it back, so which is to your advantage, again, from a real estate standpoint, I would think.
Well, what I said the last time I was here, there's no interest at all of putting a restaurant back there or raising some of my racehorses. So.
Sorry.
No, I'm not. But.
Okay, Mr. Barnes, we
you
look forward
just do
to seeing you on Monday.
Yeah,
as simple as that.
I
okay, thank you. We'll see you next Monday then.
Okay, thank you.
Last project is Angler's Advantage. Then do we have Mr. Dickey here, Mr. Steve Dickey? Okay. If we'll have the presentation on this property.
This is Division 3 staff report for Angler's Advantage, dated April 11th, 2011, case number 11-7. This is the public hearing for Angler's Advantage in the Scott Township, Section 13, Township 22, Range 22. The applicants, Sue Ann and Stephen Ryan Dickey, are requesting to operate a fishing guide service. History is that it was approved for concept on March 21st, 2011. General description, the subject property is approximately 75 feet by 229 feet and is located at 1656 Acacia Club Road in the River Lake Subdivision, lot number 26. The adjoining properties to the request consist of commercial, multifamily, and residential. Review, the proposed project consists of two existing structures, both single-family dwellings, which share a driveway, a deck, and a boat dock. The smaller cottage would be used for the office of the business. The property is serviced by a central sewer plant and private well. The project received a 14 on the policy checklist out of a possible 59. Policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply and residential buffering and screening. Summary is as mentioned before, and no requests are being made to build any kind of building. However, any structures on this would require a Division I permit at this juncture. This is coming to you as a special use request, particular to the location and to the operator. And the structures built on this were pre-planning and zoning. And you'll see kind of what's going on there. This is down on the Acacia Club Road. This is the lot right here. As you go down through there, if you've been down Acacia Club Road, you pass Mr. Gilberti's Pizza, and you remember a few years ago we had a Casmar Steck that came in and had some approval for a couple lots down there to build some multifamily units, and it's right next door to one of those units that Mr. Steck has not yet developed. This is a good overview of the property. I mentioned to you last time a couple of things I was incorrect, but this is the house, or the residence of the house now. Again, remember these lines can be off, so he's not actually encroaching. I believe everything down there is legal. This is the smaller building here that he would want to use as the office. This area of the yard is fenced now. This driveway will facilitate about 6 to 7 cars, so there's ample room for parking there. There is, the question was last week, as you walk into this building or through this building, they open up under the deck here and then down to the boat dock on the water. There is no access for anybody to bring a boat on this property and put it into the water or anything like that. There would be no need for anybody to be doing that.
Is that property fenced?
Yes, I was going to go there. There's a fence that runs kind of down through here, it comes across here, kind of up through here, and then around this whole property. Okay. So if he needed more parking space, he could always remove this part of the fence and move it over some and still have more parking space. This house here is actually sitting on two lots. This is the Casmar Steck property that was approved for multifamily, although he does have a sign up where he's asking, offering for sale. This is individual lots. The house would have to be torn down. I did go in this house, and it is going to have to be torn down. Regardless of what's going on there. But there are some guide services on Acacia Club Road. There are some other commercial ventures down through there. There are some multifamily type structures down there also. So as we reviewed this, we didn't see this request to be out of place, even if under the special use permit he was to put up a 2-foot by 4-foot sign. There are other structures down in there that have signs on them. That's why we did not, with the exception of, this now being used for a business, there's no way to really do anything here to buffer the other property or anything like that. That's why it was mentioned on there. And there's no fire hydrant system in this neighborhood, which is not uncommon for a lot of things that we see in Taney County. Let's see if we can get you a good look at the property.
Mm-hmm. My question about fencing was that there's no way with the fencing the way it is that to try to get a boat on that far side.
No, and if you did, ma'am, you'd have to have a crane to put it down in the water.
Okay.
And we're
going to
show you that in a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, if you didn't really like your boat at all and you were trying to do some kind of extreme sport, then this would be your place.
What was your comment about the neighboring property is going to have to be raised?
This property here, we approved it several years ago for 2 4-plexes or 2 8-plexes or something like that. And the structure had been breached, the front door was standing open on it and everything like that. So I did go ahead and enter the property just to close the door and just give it a look. And it is, it has some matter and stuff growing in there that will render the structure unusable. It's just been open to the weather too long, and that's what I'm saying. So he has this for sale as two lots, but in order to sell that as two lots, the structure does have to be, or an individual lot, the structure does have to be torn down. And I've talked to Mr. Steck about that, and he does know that. But that's not to say, and of course, his intention was originally to tear that structure down and then to build the multifamily units in there that we approved. And if somebody else bought that, they could do the same. but individuals could buy these lots and put a house on them. It would be suitable for that. But,
okay. And is that a dog house I see? And is there a dog that goes with that
right
dog
here?
House?
Uh-huh. There is a dog, but if I remember correctly, he was very friendly.
That structure you see that you think...
That's probably the well house.
That's the well house.
Okay. Yeah.
But there is a dog. Don't I remember a dog? Okay.
So that's the well house, not a dog house.
Actually, what would happen in this situation... Individuals coming to here would enter into this building,
and
then you can go. Now that's up to him. However, they go around there, but you can go straight through this and out onto the deck. And we're going to take you into the back there and show you that. I want to stop this here because you'd ask about the fence, and this is the fence I was describing to you. Crossing around, and off we go. I want you to notice how I've gotten the hang of this now. Okay.
About time.
Hey. Been under a lot of pressure.
Excuses.
There's our tree squirrel again. So. Okay, let's walk a little bit. And this is the sign out in front. I want you to see that he's showing that each one of those lots can be bought and split, or it can be bought as a separate lot. So.
Little cabins.
They are tight, uh-huh. But they're on the lake.
And the current use of the little house is?
It's empty at this moment. I mean, he uses it for some storage and stuff like that, I think, but he can explain that.
But
when
it was
back
built
but this
originally
is the back.
As... some it little cabin kind of thing. Mr. Dickey, you need to come up here.
Now, I want you to notice that was the deck that we're on. We're going to come back around. This is, of course, the lake down behind the house, and we're coming up on his dock right there.
Great.
So you see, you really can't put a boat in there. Mm-hmm. But we're going to come back around. Of course, this is the house that they live in right here, and it has access onto this deck and everything. And as we come back around... I guess not. I thought I was going to show you. Of course, this being the house here that they're wanting to use for the... Okay?
Okay. Anything you want to expand upon, or...?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's what we... The reminder we talked about last time, it's just... I'd like people to be able to come there and, you know, walk in the house and have some coffee, and then we'll go down and get in the boat, you know, and go fishing. And not going to open a store or anything. Most of my work's out of the resort, but I do have, you know, people come over, and it'd be nice if...
Have you been fishing recently?
Yes, I was out all day today and every day for the last, I don't know, spring break is busy right now. The crappie fishing's good. I'm Irish, so I turn red. Oh, yeah. No. I'll tell you right where they're
on the internet.
Okay, members of the commission, do you have any questions about this? And you understand completely about the special use that it goes with you and not with the property. So yes. It is just to you for this particular usage.
I've got just a couple pretty easy questions. Obviously, most of your work's out in the boat. I mean, you're going to have the folks there take care of business, get a cup of coffee, and head them on out to the boat. Are you planning on doing any shore lunches on that deck?
No.
So anything you do like that, you'll do wherever you normally do it, if you do those.
Yeah, we go to the landing for lunch, typically.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just people passing through. You might have a couple cars parked there. Obviously, you're not going to have too many cars parked there unless you got a really, really, really big boat.
Right, and I don't. No.
Yeah. Just so three or four people come up.
I can take out a family, and that's...
Yeah. Okay. So two cars probably most of the time, I'm guessing. All right. That's the only questions I have.
Mm-hmm. That was my question, is about parking, because it does still looks narrow to me.
Yeah, but I did. Just the nature of his business, you're not going to have very many people there.
We did park, and he had a truck on the lot, and I parked with enough room to open the doors on our one side and still be on his driveway and not on the property next door. So, because that was my concern, and one of the things I mentioned first was traffic. I mean, we're parking.
Turn around and back out without getting into the street.
I don't know that you can do that on that lot, but
you can turn around if there were six cars there. You could not turn around. If there was two or three cars there, you can back up and been around it.
With the fence, existing fence?
Yeah, yeah. And on the satellite view, that's older view. The driveway's wider than what you see on the picture. But my wife turns around all the time in the driveway, you know, just backs up.
Yeah,
turns
I mean, you can, but most people are just going to probably back out. I did. I mean, you know, especially the neighbor's driveway's there and it is accessible. You can turn around and I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, you could do that if you needed to. But.
Okay.
The traffic wasn't so heavy on Acacia.
Traffic hazard at all?
That's what I was just going to say. The traffic on Acacia Club, we were there in the middle of the day, and it didn't seem to be a bother. You know, there's plenty of laps between. There can be times when there's several cars come, but there's always a large break in it. The speed down there is, I think, about 30. It's not terribly bad. People aren't speeding down through there.
just the safety of his guests.
Yeah. I do know. In the morning, there is some traffic through there for people going to work and stuff like that, and then in the evening coming home, probably the same thing, because if you remember, about a year and a half ago, that bridge washed out down there, and it did cause a little bit of traffic issues, but I don't think it was anything that was tremendous or anything like that. So,
well, if you foresaw it to be a problem, you could move the fence a little bit to get it.
Yeah, and in fact, I don't know if you can bring it back up, Eddie. If you can't, that's fine.
No, I will. Just say
it's got double swing gates on it. That you know, if it was a problem, you know, lay some gravel there and just you know, you can swing the gates open and then that would make room. I pull my boat through the gate all the time. Just
and I know you don't want cars tramping down your grass, but if you've got any, but I'm just thinking about the safety. You know, prevent you from getting sued or something.
Sure, sure. I think it's safe. My wife turns around all the time when she comes in, and I can take out a family at a time, and I don't think.
And usually they would come in one car.
One car. Yeah, and I don't recall having people come in separate cars because I don't, you know, fish strangers together, you know, and then my boat slips just for one boat, so we don't. Have groups come there. We do that at the resort.
About protection
sure.
For you. That's
sure.
My main concern.
Okay, we'll see you next Monday night.
Okay, thanks, folks.
Okay, for the vote. That concludes the public hearing part of our meeting. Let's move on to old and new business, and I bet we have some.
I bet you haven't.
I bet we have.
Okay.
I do.
You know Bob.
Well,
we've already done that.
Yes.
But we do have people here in the audience, and maybe we have business with them that I'm not aware of. Okay, if that's what you're
here for entertainment value.
Okay. So is there any questions?
Need to worry about you.
Okay. I don't want to.
Okay, but I think somebody needs to kind of bring us up to date on the latest goings on. in the planning department.
Okay, as you know, today's Bob Astey's first day with the planning department. And originally I was supposed to be full-time with the sewer district. I think it was going to be last Friday, April 1st. We were visited with the commissioner on that Friday, who said he actually would prefer that we start part-time in the sewer district and assist Mr. Ashley in whatever way that he would need to get his feet on the ground. This meeting, the next meeting also, I took Bob out today to show him these projects so he'd be a little bit familiar with that. And we're starting into processes and procedures and everything like that. Our intention is to give him as much free time as we can to begin work on his code, on the code book and things like that to get that finished. just kind of assist him where we can. So if we're done at the end of this month, then we'll be done at the end of this month. And if not, then we'll whatever he needs. Of course, I am in the same building, right there handy to him. So, as with anything, it takes a few weeks to at least get your feet on the ground to know where you've been in the county, and much less find it the second time. But, Mr. Ashley does come from outside of the county to here, and so he knows how to get to Silver Dollar City. And, from Springfield. So. But it's in Stone County.
Yeah, it was in Green County.
So I did take him to Stone County a couple times today. It's one of those deals, even though Bob has been involved with planning and zoning for several years, and that's what his degree's in and everything like that. Anytime you step into any job, you still got to learn the nuances of that job. He knows, you know, like I say, he and I converse, and he knows what I'm talking about, and I know what he's talking about. To know exactly how we do things, you know, you just can't expect anybody to come in and sit down and start making decisions all at once. So, you know, it'll take him just a little while to get acclimated, but the instruction is work with him until he has his feet on the ground. Then he'll take off and be doing that, and I'm in the office there to give him history, or if there's people, you know, they say, you know, you might need to go talk to Eddie about this or whatever, I'm there for that. Okay. So not an issue. And then as he needs me less and less, then I'll be more and more with the sewer district.
Then will you speak to the issue of the resignation of our legal counsel?
Bob resigned.
Which is very concerning, I think.
You know about as much as I know what was in the newspaper and everything like that. And if you keep up with the newspaper, you know. I don't know all the backstories, so I really can't say what was what. But basically, Bob is here, or I say here. I don't know if Bob is in the office right now or anything like that, but. He is available to the county, I think it said for 6 months.
Because there are several cases
that are
in the court systems.
I did talk with Bob last Thursday. He was here concerning one of the cases that we have down on F Highway. He did go in there and ask for dismissal. I don't know exactly what happened there. But the attorney for that individual did come in and spend about an hour and a half with me, understands the situation and what we're doing and everything like that. I do expect to hear back from them. He seems to think that they can get that worked out. Now, this is the suit brought by them against the county. It's not against the county against them. But Bob did represent planning and zoning in that on last Thursday. So he is doing some things like that. Probably not going to start anything new. Would be my guess, but you know, where he's needed, when he knows the history and what's going on there, he is here. So I did not see him today, so I don't know if he's in the office every day or just on an as-needed basis or anything.
Okay. But you don't know what's going to happen as far as legal counsel for us and our meetings.
What was supposed to happen in January, they structured the budget to set up a legal department, which was going to have, it appeared to me, and in our discussion today, Bob, if I misspeak, let me know, but in our discussion today, it sounded like they were probably going to have two attorneys on staff to take care of whatever is needed, wherever it's needed. Bob was somebody that we went to on a pretty regular basis, even more than what you guys know. If there was any questions, I always went to Bob and said, you know, how do you want to handle this? And I tried to follow. He said, this is the way we need to go, because I knew if it ever went into any kind of litigation that Bob would be the one to have to defend it, so I wanted to do it the way that he had suggested. Gave us the impression that there would be, though, two attorneys on staff eventually, and the possibility of some kind of a paralegal or secretary, something like that, to help keep them on track. To better handle the needs of the county in that. Now, whether they will have to go to every one of these meetings or not, I do not know. But that was something that Bob did quite a while. You know, he went to not just our meeting, but just about every board meeting you can think of that he was at, which ran him pretty ragged. And, you know, and so I think the commissioners have noticed that, and they have decided that we need some help in that area. So that. The statement to me this morning that their intention was to structure that department with two attorneys in there. They're going to look at.
We don't want to be left out of legal counsel.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's too important for us. Any other questions for Eddie? Yeah, you know, the question is still the question of. In a first-class county, non-charter first-class county, who makes the decisions? And in terms of hiring, firing, you know, the kind of issues that we had. And I don't think those have either been answered and not even addressed particularly. You know, I think the county commission still perceives that it is their role to do the hiring and firing. And that may, in fact, be a question that's going to have to be addressed down the road.
We've asked for it to be addressed.
Right. In Chapter 64 state statutes, there's, as you know, because I gave them all to you, there's several different things depending on if you're this or that, or and sometimes it'll say all four South counties, sometimes it'll say this or that, and Bob and I have had this discussion, Bob Ashley and I. 64-800 was the section that actually was set up for alternative planning and zoning, and that's Bonita has a document. We'll make sure you have that in your next packet or at the next meeting, where this was actually all put together and everything. In order, there's some rules and stuff that come into play as you grow, and unless you take certain steps, like Christian County did here recently, they voted to stay a second-class county, not become a first-class county. And in so doing, it changes some of the rules that they operate under and everything like that. But unless you take that step, you do become one, which we did. And Bob and I discussed a little bit. There's some things that say all first-class county, and we haven't got a legal rendering on that yet. But it's our opinion that, and I'll only speak for you if I'm not, but it's our opinion that if you are a first-class county and it says all first-class counties, then that's you. Because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say. So there's a few things in there like that. You do need to know this. As you work on this new code book and you look at zoning districts, which is where we've been trying to head for a couple of years, you will need to adopt the 64-200 set of rules. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'll be. And then it does change a little bit, and it is pretty specific on who does what. It changes the makeup of your board a little bit and things like that. So there are some changes in there. Okay. So just be aware, quite an education for all of us and everything. But right now we operate under 64-8, that section there. And
did Dave Stewart get a copy of that?
I believe we did. Mr. Stewart gave you that little booklet with all the state statutes in it.
With the statutes that pertain to...
I believe everybody does have that. So there's going to be a few changes, but it is something that I think as a board, your role will change a little bit. I think as a department, I should have had you involved with the budgeting and everything, and when we just never did.
Well, and until that time, we've asked what we asked... of the commissioners when we met with them was that they get an interpretation of that, and whatever that interpretation is that we follow properly. That's all we ask.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me which one it is. Not pushing for one or the other, just the proper one. So we know what it is, so we follow it properly. If they're already doing it, great. If they're not, then, as you know, I'm not the kind that says, well, just because we've done it that way before doesn't mean we continue doing it that way. We need to do it the right way.
So
whatever the right way is, we need to find it out. Right. And do it that way, and then until things change, mm-hmm. we need to continue doing it that way. And then when they change, we need to do them the right way when
correct.
They change.
Yes, sir.
So
that's something Bob and I have been discussing. And it's great to have somebody that's been looking at the same things you've been looking at. And Bob has been doing that for about a year and a half also or more. And so we kind of know, like I say, what we're talking about and just trying to make sure that you as a board have the information that's pertinent to you and what you need to be doing. Again, we don't make you do anything. We let you know, here's what we understand, and if you choose to do that, that's fine. If you choose not to, mm-hmm. and you get in trouble, that's your fault.
Did I understand you correctly that you said Christian County chose to remain?
Yeah, there was actually some legislation that was enacted this last year that gave, I think it was a total of three counties that were supposed to reach first-class status. It gave those three counties, the county commissions in those three counties, the ability to vote to remain second class. They could either vote to remain second class or actually vote to
Well, I knew that class. Had to be due because we didn't
yeah,
have a choice.
Yeah, right. We didn't. That's exactly what I'm saying. So
we went from third to first.
Yeah.
We weren't ever a second class
But I
county.
Think it had to do with that unique assessed real estate value.
Well, it was, but I mean, there wasn't any choices there, and that interested me
That's what I'm saying. We never voted not to be. I don't know, if we had the choice.
You couldn't.
But we became that, and so these statutes that say all first-class counties, it doesn't say anything. It just says all. I'm thinking you probably eyeball those.
We became, when the valuation reached a certain point, we became a first-class county.
Yes.
And then we were obligated to do the many things that
we did. You had to have a road and bridge administrator.
Yeah, you have a choice.
You know, some requirements changed.
The clerk's office and the recorder's office split. There was a whole bunch.
There was a lot of things. And that's a tremendous expense for a county. And that's why they looked at it and said, since we don't have to, we vote to stay here.
We had to build jails for juvenile detention because we were a first-class county.
Right. So,
and you're exactly right. From my understanding, the legislation was enacted by somebody that wasn't from Christian County. Hmm. It was one of these other counties. Mm-hmm. Christian happened to be one of the three. And you're really right. They made the choice, from my understanding, primarily for financial reasons.
Well, we would be better off if we hadn't had to gone because, I mean, the county, as you will find out, is sharply divided between east and west on uses.
We've already had that discussion today also.
That's the first thing you learn when you come to take account.
Yes, indeed.
Is there anything else, Mr. Coxey, that you want to report on? I want to say in a conversation with Commissioner Strahan this morning, he has asked for some time next week to address the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I think that will help clear the air on a lot of these kind of questions that
as we Mr. Etch and I sat with Commissioner Strahan this morning for probably about an hour, I guess. It may have been a little, and his intention was to come before you tonight, but since this is the first thing and Bob wasn't actually going to be running this meeting or anything like that, he said he would rather wait till everybody had their foot on the ground and had met Bob and everything like that, and then he will come in and address you next Monday night, I think. So we'll see about putting him on. We'll have to pencil him in on the agenda.
Okay, and the last question that I have is Mr. Russell Cook, and where is that in terms of going through the process?
I don't remember if I told you it was. Had I spoke with Mr. Cook last week when I saw you guys? Did I mention that at all? So then last Thursday, I guess it was, Mr. Cook came into the office with his engineer and was just kind of going over a few small things. Didn't have all of his plans totally in place, but had a few little drawings with him. Was asking me about doing this in a couple of phases and some different stuff that he wanted to put out there and things like that. Just asking for some advice as they went back to draw up some more plans. I instructed Mr. Cook that he can turn his application whenever he wants and that, you know, he can go through concept and then he can push it off 120 days if he would choose to do, whatever the case might be. He decided that I also informed him that we would be having a new administrator in just a few days that it would be my preference that he would bring that in once the new administrator was here. I'd still be working with Bob at that time and would bring him up to speed and everything. But then Bob would be the one following that all the way through. He told me that he thought probably on the around the 15th of this month that he would turn in his application for Division 3 to start the process. I haven't heard anything else from him since that time, but that would be. I did take Mr. Ashley out there today, and so he can see what's going on, and I showed him where I live and all that good stuff, and you know. So, but
they were working, weren't they?
Today I don't know if they were. They have been last week, but I think it's a little too wet today.
That's right. I know they have been.
They said though. Last week or week before, they set several days and the equipment didn't move any at all.
Is it supposed to be moving right now?
As far as we're concerned.
Was there corn growing out there?
Well, it's just now planting season. Okay. So,
but cattle.
I've seen a lot of cattle operations.
You better be careful when you get to an interpretation of farming.
So what I'm saying is.
It hurts real farmers when you interpret it like that.
I think he's still working with DNR. I don't know that they've actually.
Okay, that's what was
in the newspaper today gave the impression that they had not issued their permit yet. But request to stop was issued by Department of Natural Resources, and so they'll handle that as they see fit. But
I guess in order to stay current, you need to read every newspaper that you possibly can, and that means something like three or four of them.
There's the Branson
Daily News. All of that information together, and then you get some semblance of reality.
Yeah.
Did you ever read a newspaper article where you actually knew what happened?
Well, you know, no, but
I do that on a regular basis.
Okay.
I guess my concern is that all applicants, all people that come in to apply understand that until something is approved or not approved, that just because they've done work out there somebody's not going to back the commission into a corner.
That is correct.
Of approving or not approving something just because they've done work.
And that's what I told Mr. Cook.
I'm not for or against it. I haven't seen the project yet.
Right. And I told him, you know, anybody can do land disturbance work, and once you get a permit from us, we're okay with it. And he did draw a permit from us, which would indicate that he thought that he needed a permit. Because we had discussed that many times, he and I, whether, you know, what needs a permit, what doesn't need a permit, but he did pull the permit from us and begin to do that work. And then if he doesn't go any further, he's still permitted, I guess what I'm saying. He needs to stabilize the land, or we keep the bond until the land stabilizes.
Right, because, I mean, you do
but,
need
but
to protect
that is no guarantee just because he has a land disturbance that he... that you're going to approve his project. There's also a few more pitfalls that are potential there, and I did discuss those with him.
And it's also no guarantee we won't. I'm just saying that.
Exactly. It just hasn't been heard yet. But you guys know as well as I do, any project that comes through here with except, I mean, this was just wonderful tonight.
Yeah.
But anytime there's any kind of project that's going to have much going on with it, there's always an opposition. And the opposition always has, any aggrieved party in this room has options to pursue. And I discussed those options with Mr. Cook. In the event that you might turn the project down, he's got options on how to proceed. In the event that you approve the project, the people that don't want to see the project have options to proceed. And I took that as far as I could go with it and explained to him what he was looking at as a probability. And he understands that. We have covered a lot of areas there.
Okay, and then my final question, the project that went through concept on Shepherd of the Hills is not here, and I understand that they've withdrawn. I also understand that they ran into some kind of a buzzsaw with the city of Branson and hooking up to sewer.
We have an issue, I guess Mr. Pendle had been working on a little bit, and it's starting to surface a little bit again, especially with their new comprehensive plan that they've done and everything, as they've extended boundaries. Taney County builds sewers, and a lot of times they turn those sewers over to local entities to maintain and do. With the understanding that they have an agreement. Somehow we've ended up into an agreement, and I think it's an interpretation thing that, like with our Bee Creek system, that what the city of Branson requests is, for the biggest part, that if you're going to hook into the sewer, that you have to sign a voluntary annexation agreement. In that voluntary annexation agreement is a statement that you will adhere to all building codes and inspections set forth by the city of Branson. Now, whether the county intended that to happen or not, or if it's being interpreted differently or not, that's above what we do. We're not involved with that at all. What happened, though, was normally in this situation, if the property is in the county, even though it's adjacent to the city, you know, we require if they're within a mile, they go to the city and inform them of what they're doing. They have to get an okay to hook up to the sewer because that sewer is controlled by the local entity, and then once they've got that sewer okay, we issue a permit and they begin to build. For some reason, in this particular situation, the city was very upset that they had come to us first, even though their property's in the county, and this is something that this particular builder has dealt with before. He was going through the same procedure that he had. Now, they did not charge him for any permits or anything like that, but they told him he had no business being at the county. And I'm just telling you what was told to me because I didn't speak with the city at all yet. However, I have in several occasions sat with them and to get their interpretation on this agreement that we have. So he called back and said, I can't proceed on with this. I have to deal with the city of Branson. However, this piece of property is in the county. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and annex it. And so before he does this project or anything, they're in the process of annexing it right now. And then, so they will permit
that.
Is
the Sight and Sound Theater in the city limits?
I would have to go look and see. Okay. I think it is.
Sight and Sound?
Uh-huh. Which is right down the...
I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So, another,
so this was basically surrounded on two or three sides, and it makes sense for it to be annexed. However, it had not been, and this developer was going through the right process, in our opinion. But when he went down to hook up to the sewer...
It's just a pressure move they commonly use.
So it's just something that has to be looked into, and we did talk with Mr. Strahan a little bit about that this morning.
Okay.
And it is something they're aware of and going to be looking
into. If there is nothing else, it's been a long day for many people in this room. So why don't we adjourn this meeting and reconvene next Monday night?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you for being here, guys.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh,